we're talking about continuity, part two.
Last time it was all about discontinuity. How does it look when things aren't continuous?
So I'm gonna present things a little differently than the book does, and I'm giving you some extra information the book doesn't provide. It's a chapter 4, section 2, if you want to compare. So there's a number of equivalent ways of defining continuity. And by equivalent, I mean one definition and my definition and somebody else's definition. They all agree on which functions are continuous and which ones aren't. Right? So they're equivalent in that sense. So the book uses disks and I use squares. As you might summarize the difference. Okay. But inside every square is a disk. Inside every square is a disk. Inside every disk is a square. And because of that, The way I use a delta and the way the book uses a delta, they're just different by a factor of about 1.4. So you just have... But it's... Because the book wants to measure... wants to talk about a disk, and I want to talk about a square. So let me give you my definition here of this these things, okay? These tolerance functions, okay? So a function f of x, y is continuous if for every point a, b on its domain. And remember, a function may not be defined everywhere. If you have a function that's x divided by y, then whenever y is 0, the function is undefined. So you may have to exclude some points, right, that aren't valid inputs. But for everything that is a valid input, maybe the best way is for each. So for each point in its domain and each, we'll call it accuracy goal. So the idea is you want to have an accurate output given only approximate inputs. Okay, so you have some positive accuracy goal. You're willing to tolerate a certain amount of error. I use a Greek letter epsilon there per tradition. I think that goes back to Weierstrass and the 1800s, deltas and the epsilons. Okay, so for each accuracy goal, there is a tolerance. So the tolerance is something that says, okay, I can tolerate this much error in my inputs and still meet my accuracy goal. So that's what I'm going to write next. So there's a tolerance, and this needs to be a positive tolerance. Right? It would be cheating if you said, my tolerance is 0. I do not tolerate any errors in the input. Right? That would not match what we mean by continuity. Continuity means if the inputs are close together, the output should be close together, right? So we need to have a positive tolerance. They can be, the outputs can, you can have inputs that aren't quite exactly the same. But if they're close, the output should be close. So we want to say such that for each xy in F's domain. Again, we only plug in stuff to F if it's well defined to do so. We don't divide by zero or take square roots of negative numbers or take the tangent of 90 degrees, et cetera, et cetera. And then we say if x and y are each less than delta away from a and b respectively, okay, so if x is not too far off from a, so it's strictly between a minus delta and a plus delta. I'm writing the delta there for short, right? I guess if you want me to write the whole thing, it's going to be longer, right? So we'll compromise. I use absolute values so I don't have to write it too many times. Okay. I'll draw a picture. If the horizontal and vertical distances between the inputs are both less than this number delta, then the distance between the outputs is supposed to be less than the accuracy goal epsilon. Okay. So the picture I have here is we have some point AB, and then we have some other point XY, and then we make a square centered around AB. The book makes it a disk. I make it a square, but it doesn't matter because you can put a disk inside a square and vice versa. So it's a disk, or a square rather, of edge length 2 delta. And anything on the interior of this this square is an input that is, we're thinking of it as close to AB, but maybe not exactly AB. So we're requiring that if your delta close to AB, in the sense of, you know, your horizontal coordinate, your x coordinate's not too far off, and your y coordinate's not too far off, then when we apply F, then we want to have that given close inputs, we get close outputs. So the output is one-dimensional, not two-dimensional. So we can just draw, you know, as an integral here. Okay? So somewhere on here is f of xy, and it's less than epsilon away from f of ab. So if you have two input points close together, you're supposed to get close output points. And the idea is that for any accuracy goal, and for any point on the domain, if you can get close enough, right, where close enough is given by some tolerance function, then you can meet your accuracy goal. And one of the things I'm doing teaching advanced calculus is going through how do you prove that such and such a formula actually works, right? How do I know, you know, that such and such a delta here, a tolerance function, will actually guarantee that if I get delta close to my input, then I get epsilon close to my output. I'm not going to ask you to make a bunch of proofs about the deltas and epsilons. But I'd like us to explore them. See how they play out. So, here's an example. So you can think of this as a hyperbolic parabola if you set z equal to the multiplication function. It looks like a horse saddle. Remember this thing. So yeah, the horse saddle type surface, hyperbolic paraboloid, more precisely. So what am I saying here when on the handout I say that the tolerance function is the minimum of 1 and epsilon divided by the absolute value of A plus the absolute value of B plus the absolute value of 1? I'm making a promise. I'm saying if I can get delta close to some fixed input AB, then I'm promising that if we then multiply A and B and we multiply XY, the difference will be less than epsilon apart. So let's try one here. Let's try epsilon is equal to 0.1. So I want to get less than a tenth away from the true output. Okay. That's not too hard, right? Let's see. Let's say A is 40 and B is 50. Right? So if I plug in exactly A and B into here, I get 40 times 50, which is 2,000. Okay. So, how much wiggle room do I have? Like how much could I get away with changing the x and the y before the product x times y was more than 0.1 away from 2,000? Naively, you might think something like, if you make it, something like this, right? That shouldn't be too bad, right? Let's see what this is. What if we made it? What if we change it by 0.05? How far off are we? We're pretty far off. 2004.5025. We didn't even get the ones place correct. Okay. So what's going on here is that when you're way out at x equals 40 and y equals 50, this is pretty steep. You're on a pretty steep part of this surface. So you change your inputs even a little bit, and there's a big change in the output. My tolerance function is promising that there is a distance small enough that if we stay that close, then we'll be okay. All right. So let's see. How close should we get? So the delta here is not it's not strictly necessary that you have to get this close. You might be able to be a little bit further away than my delta and get away with it, but I'm saying that my delta formula is close enough, right? If you took a smaller delta, that would also be close enough. So I'm not trying to get the biggest possible delta. I'm just trying to get a delta that's small enough. So on this handout, what is the formula for delta? It's the minimum of 1 and epsilon divided by the absolute value of A, in this case 40, plus the absolute value of B, in this case 50, plus 1. Which is, well, what's epsilon for us? Epsilon is 0.01. Okay. Well, what's that? That's the minimum of 1 and, let's see, 0.1, that's a tenth. The absolute values don't change the sign because they're all, the 40 and 50 are already positive. So 91 in the denominator. We're looking at 1 over 10 times 91, so this. So the smaller of 1 and 1 over 910 is, of course, 1 over 910. So if my delta is good, then this should be close enough. And no matter what x and y's I throw at this thing, if they're each less than 1/910th away from 40 and 50, respectively, then I should be less than a tenth away from 2,000. In decimal, this number is 0.0010098. And the 1098 repeats forever.
Think.
No, it's 1099 repeats forever. Yeah. Okay. Now, you can round that down, okay, to a smaller positive number. So, so we'll just round it down to 10 to the minus 3.
Okay.
That, because that'll be simpler. So we can tolerate an error of up to 10 to the minus 3 in our inputs. As long as we're that close to 40 in the x-coordinate and 50 in the y-coordinate, then we should get within a tenth of 2,000. I did a, you know, how do I get these formulas? I do some algebra with lots of absolute value signs and cases, and I use things like the triangle inequality a bunch. I solve some inequalities. Okay, so anyways, I'm claiming that is you have this whole square now of, so in the middle you have 40 comma 50. Right. And we're allowed to change the x-coordinate by as much as 0.001, right? So, and then likewise for the y-coordinate. So, for example, if you subtract that off, you would have, what, 39.999 to 40.001. Then up, and then for your y, what's allowed? Where can you have y? Well, it can be anything between 49.999 and 50.001, right? And so the claim is that if you have these two things, if you meet both of these accuracy requirements for the input, right? So you get your input errors this small, then we're claiming that you will be less than a tenth away from 2,000. So 1,999.9 should be less than x times y, which should be less than 2000.1. So if you're like, this is a big if, right? If we get all this, if you get this close to 40 and 50, then we're promising the product will be this close to 2,000. So I should be able to play around. I should move the x and y anywhere in this square, and I still should get within range of what I'm supposed to get. So that's the continuity concept here. We can test this, right? Let's see here. So let's see. 40.0005, right? Times 50.0005. Let's do another one where we subtract. So 39.9995 times 49 times 9995. And let's do one where, say we have a little bit more than 40 times a little bit less than 50. Compare all these. And see if it really works. First one is 2000.045, etc. Yep, it worked. Now the other one where x and y are a little bit too small. So the product is a little bit too small, right? But it's within our accuracy goal. It's 1999.955, etc. So, we met our accuracy goal again. Let's try this. This time, x is a little too big, y is a little too small, but it's within our tolerance, so we should still meet the accuracy goal. In fact, we should do really well because having x a little too big should compensate somewhat for having y a little too small when you take the product, right? And indeed, we get really close this time. 2000.004. And then some more decimals after that.
I got a 5 at the end.
For this one?
Yeah.
Well, I have more digits. I mean, your calculator is rounding. Mine just has more decimal places.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter, does it? Right? Whatever the last decimal place on your calculator is, you should treat that with suspicion, right? Because it had to round. Right? It could be one too high or one too low, right? I mean, the only reason I feel safe putting the dot, dot, dots is because I saw more digits on my calculator and I knew what came after. So I knew it wasn't off.
Sir, what is the difference between a fixed digit and the low digit, sir?
Oh, you're talking about fixed point arithmetic and floating point arithmetic. Well, it's a little off topic, but basically, in fixed point arithmetic, you have something like everything is a multiple of 10 to the minus 8 or whatever. Or if you're in binary, everything is a multiple of 2 to the minus 30 or whatever. Okay? So it's just integer arithmetic, but using small units. Floating point arithmetic is where everything is in scientific notation. 1 point blah blah blah, or 7 point blah blah blah. Some number between 1 and 10 with only so many decimal places on it, times a power of 10, which will
makes, which in the power of 10 will be,
it could be an integer. Or if it's a binary representation, it'll be an integer power of 2.
So, you want floating point on your calculator to handle really small stuff and really big stuff at the same time. Otherwise, your calculator would be very inefficient. I think it's IEEE 753 that defines what computers are supposed to do with floating point arithmetic, if you want to look it up. There's all sorts of tricks they do to make things, minimally bad. I mean, things can get bad when you round and round and round over and over and over again. We try to minimize this. I'm trying to find my camera. No one's going to be sad. Oh, there it is. Okay. For a moment, I thought I left it in my office. So this is how you formally define continuity. You have to have some concept of tolerance. We can tolerate small errors in input and in order to achieve an accuracy goal. The hard part about it is somebody can make the accuracy goal whatever they want, as long as it's a positive number. Right? It's somewhat unphysical in the sense that somebody could say, I want the accuracy goal to be 10 to the minus 1,000, which is too small to have a physical interpretation. But mathematically, okay, that's a positive distance. So you should have some way of making your delta really, really small so that you can handle that kind of ridiculous accuracy goal. So that's why you have to either come up with a formula for the delta, or if that's too complicated, you give some kind of proof that there is a formula or some kind of function. Even if you can't say exactly what it is, you abstractly prove it exists. With a more complicated function, it's a real pain to actually write out the whole formula for it. I mean, I only wrote out things for its relatively simple functions, you know, multiply, add, subtract, reciprocal, right? How would I figure out a tolerance for a more complicated function? That is where the second to the bottom one comes in, where it's a composite function. You see, I have two functions, h and k, and then I feed them into a function, g. And that's how we know that, say, all polynomials of two variables, or even all rational functions of two variables, are continuous on their domain. Because you can chain together a function, right? Chain together a whole bunch of functions, and you can figure out the tolerance. Let me show you how that works. Okay. So, let's say now I have a rather complicated function. Let me make up some numbers here. How about A, B will be, I'll keep it relatively simple. Let's say 0 and 1, okay? And then, so I'm going to plug in 0 and 1 here, and I'll get whatever I get. And let's give myself an accuracy goal, let's say 0.004, okay? So So I would like to be able to plug in x and y's close to 0, 1 and get an output that is less than 0.04 away from the output when it's exactly 0 and 1. So I'd like to get pretty close. Well, how close do my inputs need to be? So I claim that this function, though complicated, is built up from a bunch of simple continuous functions. And then we can actually figure out how close we need to get. We can actually find the delta we need.
Okay. I'm gonna bring the calculator.
Well, what's a third of the cosine of 1 radian? That's what I want to know. The cosine of 1 radian. Well, cosine's even, so it'll be the same for negative 1. It's a little under 60 degrees.
Okay, so dividing, we get about, 0.18.
Well, we're worried about accuracy. So let me give you all the decimal places I got. I'm good. Okay. It's only the 3 that I'm not sure about. And it's the very last one. Okay. All right. Now, I need to understand this thing. How can I understand this as made up of a bunch of simple little pieces? Okay. So, first of all, I'm going to think of this as a not division, because I didn't put a division tolerance on here. I'm going to think of it as multiplication by a reciprocal. I could actually use all these to, basically you could use these to program a computer to figure out a bunch of tolerance. Okay, so how's this going to work? So think of it as, there's a multiplication function. And into that multiplication function we are feeding what? We're feeding a cosine. We're feeding a reciprocal, right? And into the cosine, what are we feeding? We're feeding a subtraction. A subtraction. Into the reciprocal, we're feeding an addition. And so what are the two things we're adding? Well, here we're just, in the first one, we're subtracting x, y, and then the two things we're adding would be x squared, which you can think of as x times x, right? And then 3 times y, right? So the 3 is actually a constant, so you can think of this as just multiplication of 3, and you're just feeding a y into it. Maybe I should just write like this. So basically, you can think of this one as you're feeding in the x and the y, but you're ignoring the x, right? You're just kind of 3. So, okay. And so we have these various goals. We have 0.04, right, as the accuracy we want, right? We want to get errors less than 0.04 away from this thing. Okay, now look at the cosine. Right? If we use the tolerance function for cosine, it says you can just use the same epsilon that you're shooting for as an input. Right? The output error won't be any bigger than the input error. Now with the reciprocal one, it's a little more complicated, isn't it? Here I need to actually know what I'm taking the reciprocal of. Well, I'm taking the reciprocal of 3. Okay? So in this one, it's going to be 3/2 times the minimum of 1 and epsilon times 3. Well, epsilon times 3 is 0.12. Not even that simple. It's first I have to do the multiplication ones, and so it's yeah. It's a mess. So for this one, you'd have to have the epsilon, and you'd use the multiplication ones. You'd have to divide by 1 + 3. Plus the cosine of 1. And so I guess I'll do it. But I'm not going to do the whole thing because it gets tedious. But the point is there is some number you can get at the end. You have to divide this, multiply it by 3 squared root of 2. So you just can mechanically go through all the formulas in there, and you can come up with something. I'm rounding it down a little bit there. For this one, subtraction. Just divide the error by 2. Maybe I can get all the way to the end. Same with addition, just divide the error by 2. And you can always round down. So then, another multiplication at x equal x, where I'm plugging in 2 zeros in. So that one becomes the same. It's kind of elaborate. The x can be pretty much anything I want. They should match. So because I'm multiplying by 3, I have to have any errors in the input will get multiplied by 3. So I need to make those smaller. So then I look at all these numbers at the beginning, and the smallest of these numbers over here at the beginning, well, look, it's the inputs, the actual original inputs, right? Whichever of these is smallest would actually work. But I won't make you do one of these. The point is, there is a number. So even when you put together some complicated function, there is an actual tolerance. Right? Okay. So if you want to get within 0.04 of the output 0.1801, etc., as long as you get your x and y's within 0.006 of 0 for x and 1 for y, then you should be okay. So let's see if we can test this. How about negative 0.06?
0.05. All right, so I'm going to push the limits here. And 1.00. See how close we are. Cosine of the negative divided by squared. Okay. And 0.16884333342. Okay, what is the error? Let's see here. We'll copy paste, right? Output error is -0.01125743519, right? Smaller, right? Don't worry about the sign, just think about the size. I changed the inputs each by less than 0.006, and yep, the output changed by less than 0.004. So these things do actually, you can actually prove, using this kind of machinery, that 0.006 really is a guarantee. If your inputs are this close, the outputs will be that close, I promise, right? And if you don't believe me, you can go into Excel and make a big table of numbers where you change X and Y each by a whole bunch, right? And see, if there's any big errors hiding somewhere in the square, right? In the delta, 2 delta by 2 delta square. Okay. So. Okay, so you don't have to do anything that crazy. Homework 21. Class will end in a minute, and then turn in homework 14 through 18. I was late, that's why I didn't collect it at the beginning. Okay, so homework 21. Find a tolerance delta for f of xy equals x squared times y plus 2. Okay. Plus 2x. For accuracy, epsilon equals 0.1. Here, I'll make it here. Let's do plus 2. That'll make it easier. At AB equals, I won't make it too hard, 1 and 1. Okay. And make a table. Let's say it's make a 9x9 table of numbers. So a spreadsheet could speed that up. As evidence for your tolerance. To show that you've picked a delta small enough, right? So you don't need to prove that your delta works, but make a table of numbers and check that you really have got the error down. Okay. So if you plug in exactly 1 and 1, the output should be 3. You need to be between 2.9 and 3.1.
Okay, so now turn into 14 and 18. And I will state